Welcome back to Cyber Shield Weekly. I'm Alex, and with me as always is Sarah, our resident cybersecurity analyst. Today is Tuesday, July 8th, 2026, and this is Volume 1, Issue 41.
Hey everyone, glad you're here because this week's threat landscape is genuinely one of the more unsettling ones we've covered in a while, and not because of some exotic nation-state superweapon. It's unsettling because of how ordinary the attack surfaces are.
That is exactly the right framing. Streaming boxes, browser permission prompts, a tax filing utility, reset flows, the everyday stuff. Today we are covering proxy botnets, browser-based ransomware, a China-linked campaign targeting tax software users, a genuinely wild new air-gap attack called TrojanPix, and a new cross-platform malware tool being sold as a subscription service.
We have got CISA and government alerts, a small business corner focused on Fortinet firewalls and VPN gateways, and if your business uses either of those, you need to stay with us for that segment.
Plus our tech tip for the week, and Daniel Ramos from Intelligent Automation brings the strategic view from the CTO's desk. A lot to get through. Let's go. All right, let's kick off top threats. Sarah, set the stage for us. What is the through line this week?
So the through line, and I want listeners to really hold on to this, is that the attack surface this week is made of things your employees interact with every single day and do not think twice about. A streaming device on the office Wi-Fi, a GitHub demo repo a developer pulled down, a browser extension asking for a permission. None of those feel like threat vectors. All of them were this week.
Let's start with the proxy botnet story, because I think it perfectly illustrates what you were describing.
Right. So a proxy botnet is essentially a network of infected devices that attackers use as a relay. Think of it like this. Instead of a criminal driving through your neighborhood themselves, they borrow your neighbor's car, do the job, and return it before anyone notices. The traffic looks like it came from a legitimate home or office device, not from the attacker.
And the devices being recruited into these botnets this week include home streaming boxes, the kind of thing someone plugs in under the conference room TV.
Exactly. Android-based streaming devices, cheap ones, often running outdated firmware that nobody ever patches, because honestly, why would you? It is a TV box. But these devices sit on your network, and once they are compromised, they become a hot point for everything from credential stuffing attacks, that is, automated login attempts using stolen username and password lists, to hiding the origin of ransomware deployment.
What does a 50-person company do about this right now?
First thing, do a physical audit. Walk the office, identify every device that is plugged into your network that is not a computer or a phone. Smart TVs, streaming sticks, network-attached storage, even printers. Anything with an IP address is a potential pivot point. Second, put those devices on a separate network segment. Your IT person or managed service provider can set up what is called a VLAN, a virtual local area network, that keeps your streaming devices away from your business data. If those devices get compromised, the attacker cannot see your file server.
Great. Now, let's talk about the story that I think is most immediately dangerous for business owners right now. Operation Draconiax, the fake Indian tax filing utility delivering Decrat.
This one is a classic supply chain masquerade attack, and it is beautifully, and I use that word with deep frustration, beautifully executed. A suspected China Nexus threat group, meaning a group with operational ties or alignment to Chinese state interests, built a fake utility that looks like a legitimate Indian tax filing application. Tax professionals, corporate finance teams, accountants, they download it, they install it, and they get Decrat.
Decrat, what is that exactly?
Decrat is a remote access Trojan, RAT for short. It is a piece of malware that gives the attacker essentially a backdoor into your machine. They can see your files, capture your keystrokes, take screenshots, exfiltrate, meaning steal and transmit sensitive data. Decrat specifically has been around for a few years, but it is being actively developed and sold in underground forums.
And this campaign is called Operation Draconiax. Who is at risk?
If you have anyone on your team who handles tax filing, compliance documentation, or government reporting, especially if your business has any India operations or partners, this is directly relevant. But here's the broader lesson. The attack vector is something that looks official, a fake government-adjacent utility. And that pattern, malware dressed as legitimate compliance software, is not going to stay in India. That playbook will be used in the US, in the EU, everywhere.
Daniel Ramos from Intelligent Automation actually used a great line about this. Supply chain masquerading is the new phishing, and your users are remarkably trusting of anything that looks official.
It is so true. The immediate action here is a software installation policy. No one on your team should be able to download and install utilities, especially anything tax, compliance, finance, or government adjacent, without IT approval, even if it looks completely legitimate. Especially if it looks completely legitimate.
Let's move to Quemarat, because this one expands the threat in an important way.
Quemarat is a new malware as a service offering, MaaS, which means it is being sold by its developers to other criminals on a subscription basis. We are talking about a very low barrier to entry for attackers. And what makes Quemarat notable is that it is Java-based, which means it runs natively on Windows, Linux, and macOS.
That is a big deal. Most malware historically targets Windows because that is the dominant platform. But your finance director running a MacBook, your developer on Linux, Quemarat does not care.
Exactly. And it was flagged this week by the researchers at Level Blue. The MaaS pricing model means a criminal with very limited technical skill can rent access to a fully functional remote access Trojan for a surprisingly low cost. The technical bar to attack your business just got lower.
What do businesses do?
Endpoint detection and response, EDR, on every device. Every device. Not just Windows machines. Modern EDR solutions like CrowdStrike Falcon, SentinelOne, or Microsoft Defender for Endpoint cover Mac and Linux. If your current security vendor only covers Windows endpoints, that is a conversation you need to have this week.
Now, and I want to spend a moment on this one because it is genuinely fascinating and also alarming. TrojPix.
Okay, so TrojPix was published by researchers at Shandong University. And I want to be clear, this is a proof of concept, meaning researchers demonstrated it in a controlled lab setting. But the technique is real and it matters.
Explain what an air-gapped system is first.
An air-gapped system is a computer that is completely disconnected from any network. No Wi-Fi, no Ethernet, no Bluetooth. The idea is that if there is no network connection, no one can remotely access the data. Governments use them for classified systems. Some financial institutions use them for their most sensitive data. They are supposed to be the ultimate defense.
And TrojPix breaks that.
It exploits something called Van Eck phreaking, which is a technique that has actually existed since the 1980s, where you read the electromagnetic emissions coming off electronic components. What TrojPix does is it modifies on-screen pixels in ways your eye cannot perceive, tiny changes to the image on the screen. But those pixel changes affect the electrical signal running through the video cable, which causes the cable to emit a specific radio frequency pattern. A nearby receiver, something as simple as a modified software defend radio, can pick up that signal and reconstruct the data.
So the screen itself becomes a radio transmitter?
Essentially, yes. And the data transfer rate the researchers achieved is fast enough to be operationally useful for stealing things like encryption keys, passwords, small sensitive files.
For the 50-person business, this is not an immediate panic threat. But what is the takeaway?
The takeaway is twofold. One, if you have any truly sensitive systems, systems containing proprietary trade secrets, financial models, anything that would destroy the company if it leaked, physical security around those systems matters. Who has physical access? What devices are near those machines? Are people bringing personal phones into that room? Two, this is a reminder that attackers are extraordinarily creative. The threat model for your most sensitive data cannot just be it is not connected to the internet.
And that is a perfect segue into our government alert segment.
The big one this week from the government advisory world is the NCSC, that is the UK's National Cybersecurity Center, issuing a formal alert about a global targeting campaign against Fortinet firewalls and VPN gateways. And CISA, our own cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency, has been aligned with this warning.
Fortinet is one of the most widely deployed firewall and VPN platforms in the mid-market. If you are a 20 to 200 person company, there is a real chance you are running a FortiGate firewall or using Fortinet's VPN for remote access.
Right. A VPN, or a virtual private network, is what allows your employees to connect securely to the company network from home or while traveling. It is an extremely common and important piece of infrastructure. And Fortinet's products have had several significant vulnerabilities over the past couple of years, some of which have been exploited by sophisticated threat actors before patches were widely applied.
What are we specifically looking at in terms of vulnerabilities?
The current campaign appears to be targeting unpatched instances, meaning organizations that have not applied Fortinet security updates. Fortinet has released patches addressing critical vulnerabilities in FortiOS and FortiGate products. If you are not running the latest patched firmware, you are exposed.
What does a business owner do right now, like today?
Step 1. Call your IT provider or managed service provider today. Not this week, today. And ask one specific question. Are our Fortinet devices running the latest firmware and have all critical security patches been applied? That is it. That is the question. If the answer is anything other than a confident yes, you need an emergency patching session.
And if you do not know whether you are running Fortinet products?
That is actually the first problem to solve. You should have an asset inventory, a list of every piece of hardware on your network. If you do not have that, your IT provider should. Ask them to produce it today.
There is also something interesting from the SANS Internet Storm Center this week around RCS, Rich Communication Services, and DNS, specifically something called NAPTR records. Sarah, can you give us the 30-second version?
Sure. RCS is the messaging protocol that is gradually replacing SMS on both iOS and Android. Think of it as the upgraded text messaging system. NAPTAR records, that stands for Naming Authority Pointer, are a type of DNS record used to help devices discover and connect to RCS services. The concern flagged by SANS is that attackers can potentially abuse the way RCS service discovery works to intercept or redirect communications. It is an emerging area to watch, particularly for organizations that rely on SMS or RCS for two-factor authentication delivery.
Which is most of us.
Which is most of us. The practical takeaway for your most sensitive accounts, banking, payroll, your domain registrar, your cloud hosting, move away from SMS-based two-factor authentication toward an authenticator app like Microsoft Authenticator or Google Authenticator. Those use time-based codes that are generated on device and cannot be intercepted through phone network attacks.
All right, Small Business Corner. This week is important. Let's talk about what businesses like yours, the 30 to 100 person company, need to do given everything we have covered.
I want to start with the Fortinet alert because it is the most immediately actionable, but I also want to zoom out for a second. The theme that pen testers, these are the ethical hackers businesses hire to try to break into their own systems. The theme they keep coming back to when asked how to make their job harder is this: patch faster and know what you have.
That is almost too simple.
It is. And it is incredibly hard to do consistently. But here's the thing. The vast majority of successful attacks against small and mid-sized businesses exploit vulnerabilities that have known patches available. The attacker is not using some exotic zero day against your 45-person accounting firm. They are using a vulnerability that was patched 6 months ago that you just never applied.
So patch management is the unglamorous hero.
Unglamorous hero. I love that. Yes, and specifically for this week. Fortinet devices, any Java runtime environments in your organization, given the Crema rat threat, and browser extensions. Speaking of which, browser-based ransomware is in the news this week, and it exploits browser permissions. If your employees have browser extensions installed that they did not consciously choose and evaluate, that is a risk vector right now.
How do employees accidentally get malicious browser extensions?
Incredibly easily. They search for a free tool, a PDF converter, a grammar checker, a screenshot tool. They click the first result and they install it. Some of those are malicious. Some start legitimate and get bought by malicious actors. The fix is a browser extension policy, a list of approved extensions, and anything not on that list gets removed.
That is manageable, even for a small team.
Completely manageable. Your IT provider can push browser policies that restrict extension installation to an approved list. It takes a couple of hours to set up and it closes a real attack surface.
Let's go to the tech tip. This week, I want to walk through something super practical, setting up an authenticator app for your most critical business accounts. Sarah, walk us through it like you are sitting across the table from someone who has never done this.
Perfect. Okay, so you are going to need your phone and access to whichever account we are securing. Let's use your business banking as the example, because that is the highest stakes one.
Step one.
Go to your phone's app store, whether that is the Apple App Store or Google Play, and search for Microsoft Authenticator. It is free. Download it and install it. You can also use Google Authenticator. Both work the same way.
Step two.
Log into your business bank account on a computer. Go to the Security Settings or Account Settings page. Look for something called two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication, sometimes abbreviated as 2FA or MFA. Most banks have this. Click to enable it.
Step three.
Your bank will present you with a QR code on the screen. A QR code is that square black and white pattern that looks like a pixelated box. Open the Microsoft Authenticator app on your phone, tap the plus sign to add an account, and choose Scan QR Code. Point your phone's camera at the QR code on your computer screen.
Step 4.
The app will now show a 6-digit number that changes every 30 seconds. Your bank will ask you to enter that number to confirm the setup worked. Type it in, done.
And from that point forward?
Every time you log into your bank account, after you enter your password, it will ask you for a code. You open the app, read the current 6-digit number, enter it. Takes 5 seconds. And now, even if someone steals your password, through a phishing email, through a data breach, through anything, they cannot get into your account without physically having your phone.
Do this for banking, payroll, your email admin account, your domain registrar, your cloud backups, the highest stakes accounts first.
Exactly. Start with the ones where a breach would cause immediate financial damage or operational shutdown.
Now let's go to CTO's desk. Daniel Ramos, CTO of Intelligent Automation, joins us each week with the Strategic View. Daniel could not be here live this week, but he sent us his take, and I want to make sure we unpack it properly because there are a couple of things he said that I think deserve more airtime.
His framing this week was really sharp. He called out the fact that all of the risky pieces this week were ordinary. And I think that deserves to sink in for business leaders listening. Your threat model cannot just cover the exotic. It has to cover the mundane.
He specifically called out the supply chain masquerade pattern, the fake Indian tax utility delivering DRAC, and his actionable takeaway was audit every third-party utility your team installs, especially anything tax, compliance, or government adjacent.
And this connects to something bigger that Daniel has been consistent about, which is that the human layer is always the most exploited layer, not because your people are careless, because attackers are extremely good at manufacturing trust. A fake government utility looks official. A fake POC exploit, proof of concept code posted publicly that security researchers might download, looks like a legitimate research tool.
And that fake POC story is fascinating. The bad guys are now specifically targeting security researchers by posting malicious proof of concept exploit code in places where researchers would naturally look for it.
Right. There is actually a proof of concept exploit released this week for a Linux vulnerability called Bad EPOL, a privilege escalation vulnerability that would allow an attacker to gain root access, meaning full administrative control of a Linux system. The real POC is legitimate research, but in the wild, fake POCs are being seeded as malware bait for security professionals. The hunters are being hunted.
Daniel also flagged the AI SOC platform question, which is something we are going to do a full episode on soon. But the quick version for this week's audience is, if you are considering any AI-powered security platform, and vendors are pitching these constantly right now, the question to ask is whether the AI is doing genuine autonomous detection and response, or whether it is a chat interface sitting on top of a legacy system that still requires human analysts to do all the real work.
The analogy I would use is some of these AI SOC products are like putting a new touchscreen dashboard on a 2009 car. The interface looks modern. The engine has not changed. You need to understand what is actually happening under the hood before you sign a contract.
The 6 capabilities Daniel's framework highlights that separate real AI SOC platforms from bolt-on solutions include autonomous detection without human queuing, real-time response action, not just alerting, genuine cross-platform telemetry ingestion, explainable AI, meaning it can tell you why it flagged something in plain language, integration with your existing ticketing and workflow systems, and a demonstrated track record of reducing mean time to respond, which is the time between a threat starting and your team acting on it.
If a vendor cannot clearly demonstrate all 6 of those in a live demo with your own data, ask harder questions.
And the broader strategic point Daniel is making, which connects everything this week, is that the velocity of the threat landscape in 2026 is outpacing organizations that are still reacting rather than operating with a posture of continuous vigilance. The threats we cover today were not theoretical. They were deployed, active, and in some cases already successfully breaching organizations.
The businesses that are going to come through this period well are the ones building the habits now. Patch cadence, asset visibility, software installation controls, MFA on critical accounts. Those are not glamorous investments. They are the foundation.
All right, let's bring it home. 3 takeaways from this week. Sarah, take us out.
Takeaway 1. If you are running Fortinet firewalls or VPN gateways, contact your IT provider today, not this week, today, and confirm that all critical patches are applied. This is an active, globally targeted campaign, and unpatched Fortinet devices are being exploited right now.
Takeaway 2. Implement a software installation approval policy. No employee should be able to install utilities, browser extensions, or any third-party tools without IT review and approval. The attack this week that used a fake tax filing utility to deliver DRAT is a preview of a technique that will be adapted for every industry and every country. The defense is simple. Nothing gets installed without a human checkpoint.
Takeaway 3.
Set up Authenticator app-based multi-factor authentication on your highest stakes accounts this week. Banking, payroll, email administration, domain registration. Ditch SMS codes for those accounts. We just walked you through how to do it step by step. It takes 15 minutes, and it closes one of the most common initial access vectors attackers use against small businesses.
That is CyberShield Weekly for July 8th, 2026. Thank you to Daniel Ramos at Intelligent Automation for the CTO's Desk Perspective this week. If this episode was useful to you, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and share it with one other business owner or operations manager who needs this information. That is genuinely how we reach the people who most need to hear it.
Stay safe out there, patch your systems, know what is on your network, and do not trust anything just because it looks official.
See you next Tuesday.